Hello and welcome to Tantra Mar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the treaties of peace and friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Thursday, July 29th. Coming up on today's show, we stop in at Mel's Tea Room on Bridge Street to speak with co-owner Dave Epworth, find out what plans are afoot for the newly renovated Sackville landmark, including live music. Meg Cunningham chats with Jessica Grew about her upcoming Sappy Fest Infinite Variety Show special, Share Your Pets with Sappy Fest. We also hear about yesterday's announcement of a $13.5 million community center going up in Capilet, just 50 kilometers north of Sackville. And we asked Dominic LeBlanc about the progress getting a federal daycare deal for New Brunswick. That's coming up right after some more local news and information. CBC reporter Tori Weldon has announced she is leaving her job at CBC Moncton and heading for a future in podcasting. Weldon made the announcement on social media Wednesday, saying Friday would be her last day at CBC New Brunswick. Over Weldon's more than 10 years reporting with CBC based in Moncton, she's covered many Sackville stories, from food bank floods to hospital service cuts, to the endless ways businesses and families have adapted to the COVID-19 pandemic. CBC listeners will remember Weldon's recent heartfelt work commemorating the loss of two Sackville landmarks, the Harness Shop and George's Fabulous Roadhouse. Weldon says she will go out with a bang reading the news on shift from the beloved Moncton newsroom. Ability New Brunswick is looking for 10 outstanding individuals to be recognized for their work helping New Brunswickers with mobility disabilities. A call for nominations is out now, due by August 13th. Up to 10 people will be selected by a jury and recognized as part of celebrations for Ability NB's 65th anniversary in October. You can make a nomination or get more information at info@abilitynb.ca. Glass recycling is now available at the Tantramar Civic Center. Bins are set up in the parking lot for clear or green or amber-colored glass bottles and jars. Lids must be removed in order for the glass to be recycled, and specialty glass like Pyrex and ceramics are not accepted. Capilet and its surrounding communities got some good news on Wednesday afternoon as the provincial and federal governments announced major cost-sharing contributions to a $13.5 million renovation and expansion of the Capilet Arena. In what had the air of a campaign stop, Beauséjour MP and Minister of Intergovernmental Affairs Dominic LeBlanc spoke to a crowd of about 100 people and drew cheers as he announced the federal government's $5.4 million contribution to the new Capilet Intergenerational Community Center.
Mr. Mayor, when I spoke to you on Friday afternoon, I could hear the emotion in your voice when I told you, as I'm happy to tell all of your friends and the residents of Capilet today, that the Government of Canada has approved a $5.4 million contribution to the arena here in Capilet.
The province of New Brunswick is also contributing $4 million to the project, leaving the remaining $4.1 million to be raised by the village of Capilet. So far, a fundraising effort started a few months ago has already raised $2.8 million. I spoke to Mayor Serge Leger, who says the village has been working on the idea of a new center for 5 years, but the current plan only came together about 4 months ago.
We got a plan, we got a community together, we looked at our options, we went through all the process and we decided this is what we wanted. So after 4 or 5 months, it's a $13 million project. We got the funding from federal, from provincial, and then we went for donations from our citizens. And our share part is $4.1 million. We got $2.8 raised. We got some more in the pipe. So this is going to be a big thing.
So the municipality of Capilet is going to chip in 4.1, and you've already raised 2.8 just in community donations?
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, our fair share is 4.1 million, but the community has already donated 2.8 in all this. So,
yep. So you're confident that the rest will come no problem, because this has been just a short while that you've started the donation run?
About 2 months ago. 2 months ago, and no, it's going to happen for sure. We hope anyway, but we don't see any foresight problems, so... This is a big day today, so we're all excited. Yep.
How big is the region that this community center will serve?
About 15,000 people around all the community, Port Elgin, up to the Cape, Shediac, Beaubassin-Est, all around. So we're talking about 15,000 people that could be accessible to. So.
What are going to be some of the highlights of this of the new community center?
Just the new infrastructure. This is a landmark for the town. The town is growing, and we needed one safe area so people can come in and do exercise and enjoy their creative health and socialize, and this is going to bring people together.
I heard talk of an indoor walking track and extra seating for the arena. It sounds like an all-ages focus. Would you say that's...
Yes, that's what it is, all-ages focus. It's from, and we want it to operate from 8 to 9 at night, have activities all day, and so people can take advantage, enjoy themselves, and create a good lifestyle.
So what do you think the timeline will be for getting it up and running, I guess?
About 2.5 years by the time we're done, so we hope so. Yeah.
All right, and you said this was an emotional day for you?
Yes, it was an emotional day. Like Capitalis is, we're always small, but we're big and mighty in some sense, and we never thought it could happen this, but it's going to be a realization for us to happen. So, no, very happy, and I couldn't see myself having this support to get this done.
That was Capitalis Mayor Serge Léger talking about the new Capitalis Intergenerational Community Center project, which will feature multi-use and community meeting rooms, an indoor walking track, and the addition of locker rooms and expanded seating to the existing Capitalis Arena. Dominic LeBlanc noted the size of the crowd at the announcement on Wednesday was likely due to whispers of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau making a possible appearance. Trudeau was instead in Newfoundland, where he announced a $5.2 billion deal to cover the costs of the Muskrat Falls hydroelectric project, as well as a deal on subsidized daycare for that province. On Tuesday, Trudeau was in PEI, announcing another daycare deal for that province. Now that all the Atlantic provinces, except New Brunswick, have signed agreements on federal daycare funding, I asked Dominic LeBlanc about the progress on a deal with New Brunswick.
We had hoped that the government of New Brunswick would have already signed an agreement. By the end of the day today, the Government of Canada will have reached an agreement with the Government of Newfoundland and Labrador, the Government of Nova Scotia, and the Conservative Government of Prince Edward Island. So I'm hoping that the parents and the grandparents of New Brunswick and the thoughtful people who understand that an early learning and childcare program is one of the best economic and social programs that a country can have will convince the New Brunswick government to quickly sit down and finalize an agreement. There's over $500 million for the province of New Brunswick waiting for them to sit down with us. And as I say, if it's possible with the Conservative government of Prince Edward Island, I would hope it's possible with the Higgs government as well.
And you've been reaching out to the Higgs government then?
There is an ongoing active discussion. I know that my colleague Ahmed Hussein has spoken a number of times with the provincial minister Dominic Carty. I have spoken about this with the premier. There's no surprise and there's no magic to it. These agreements are designed to be flexible because no province starts from the same starting point. Every province has sort of a different system that has evolved over time. So we have a few basic principles, lowering the cost by 50% next year on average, getting to $10 a day high-quality early learning and child care within 4 or 5 years, and some provinces are going faster than that, increasing the wages of early learning educators to make it really the profession that it is and should be. So all of these are just basic principles that if other governments from British Columbia to Newfoundland and Labrador have been able to find valuable, I hope that the New Brunswick government will too.
That was Beausejour Jour MP and Minister of Intergovernmental Affairs Dominic LeBlanc speaking on Wednesday. CHMA has reached out to the province of New Brunswick for an update on daycare funding negotiations and will keep you posted. The floors are a lot shinier, the bathroom is bigger, and there's now room for a long-standing dream of co-owner Dave Epworth, live music. Mel's Tea Room opened up for dine-in service last Monday. Co-owner Dave Epworth didn't make a big announcement at the time, hoping to allow his new staff some time to acclimatize to having customers back in the landmark Sackville Diner. And now the diner is about to become Sackville's latest music venue, with a debut concert slated for August 8th as part of the Festival by the Marsh. I dropped by Mel's yesterday afternoon to speak with Dave Epworth to find out more about the renovations and new plans for Mel's Tea Room.
So how is it going? How are things now that you have dine-in service again?
Things are good. I've been quite happy with the sort of ability of my new staff to keep up. The customers have been more than gracious. You know, it's been good. I've seen a lot of sort of stuff on Facebook talking, you know, memes and stuff that say, you know, be kind to your servers. They're probably just getting their feet under them again and stuff. And it's been really good. I think people are just so happy to be out and about that, you know, they're just happy to have some, you know, some food that's not at their own dinner table, mm-hmm. you know, that they had to make themselves.
And people, when they come back to Mel's, if they haven't been back already, they're going to notice a few changes. Or, I mean, hopefully they'll notice. Maybe they won't even notice. It's sort of stealth. You've done a good job of making it sort of feel this exactly the same, but there are definitely differences. What can people expect to see?
Well, and that was exactly the idea. As an example, the previous owner, not like before Kenny, who owned this building for, or owned this business for over 40 years, Roger, he sat in here and with a puzzled look on his face, and he couldn't figure out what was different. And he was here, you know, every day for 40 years. So, I mean, to me, that's a bit of a testament to you know, that what we did was okay, and people are going to accept it. People don't like change, but you know, it's necessary. So I mean, you make the changes that you need to remain competitive and to do your business, and whatever you can leave for people to reminisce about when they come in. You know, because there's people that have been coming here for years. Mel's got a lot of people through university, you know, and they come back in here and everything still feels the same. Things are a little bit different, but not drastic. So it's been good as far as that goes.
It's not, I mean, the thing about running this place, I guess, is not just a restaurant, in it's also like a historical institution. So how long has Mel's been around?
Mel's has been here at this location since 1945. And 1919, from what I've been told, was the first year that Mel's operated. They were on a different block, I think a little further up Bridge Street. But, you know, so over 100 years. So, you know, here since 45. So, I mean, that's, you know, pretty much anyone from town that is living knows Mel's, you know.
So one of the big changes is that one of the counters is gone. And there's seating there, and it looks like it's all movable, and there's room for you to pursue one of the projects that you've been talking about, which is featuring some live music in Mel's.
That's right, and coincidentally, August 8th is our first live music in here. We're doing a songwriters circle in here on the 8th. That features Alex Madsen and Jason Haywood, both of the Divorcees. And Ken Michaloskis, who is a known player around. I happen to play with him in a band, but I'm not involved in this particular show. But yeah, so we're pretty excited to do that. Now that everything has gone green, or is supposed to go green, we don't have restrictions. We're pretty excited, you know, and hopeful that people are just gonna, you know, be into it and hopefully embrace Mel's as a music venue going forward. We've lost a couple venues in the last year with TNL closing, which was a great venue, and George's Roadhouse, which was, you know, it was one of the top venues to play in the country for several years. So we're hoping to at least take up part of the torch, you know, as far as venues go.
That's great. Another thing I'm sure people, or especially longtime customers, will notice, the bathrooms have had a serious renovation. The tiny bathrooms.
Yeah, it's funny that that is something that people have mentioned. It's you know, people that have been coming here forever, one of the things we've always heard, and when we bought the business, one of the things that my wife Wendy was really, really excited about was the opportunity to do the bathrooms. We didn't have an opportunity until COVID to really do any projects like that. So I mean, for us, it's been great. When people that come in here, they go in and use the bathroom, and you hear, oh my goodness, you hear people, you know, they notice the bathroom, and it's a, you know, it's funny. I even saw some people have posted on Facebook, you know, that come for the meals and stay for the restrooms. It's, but you know, it is an important thing. I know a lot of people, when they first come into a new place, one of the things they do is they check out the bathroom. Their opinion of the bathroom forms their opinion of the kitchen and the restaurant as a whole. So it was important that we, you know, freshen it up and make it what it needs to be.
Awesome. I feel like you guys could run a bit of a contest, like what are the things that change? You know, those like in kids' magazines, they have the two photos, and I wonder how many people would be able to name all the changes that have happened.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know if I could name them all because there are so many that are subtle as well. So, you know, there's one of the things that we've tried to change is the service has kind of been what we're trying to bring back. When, you know, when Mel's was kind of first going, it was a family business, and it was, you know, it wasn't known to just to be, you know, in and out, grab your food and go. But people are in a hurry now. The way restaurants operate has had to change. So, you know, we made some adjustments to our floor plan to give our wait staff a little bit of room of their own, you know, in an effort to try and make things a little bit speedier, which is, you know, one of them. Your food can be absolutely wonderful, but if it's slow at lunchtime, you can't, you know, you're not going to be competitive.
Anything else people should know about this sort of new and improved Mal's?
I don't know. I mean, come in and check it out, obviously. That's the best way to get a feel of what we've done here. There's still some changes left to make. You know, most of them are minor, but to us they're important. And you know, with the music and having a venue and stuff, like you know, we're open to do private functions. We've done them before. It's a really good space for that. You know, family reunions or birthdays or things like that, we love to do those sort of activities. But other than that, yeah, we just hope to see you.
The Sappy Fest Infinite Variety Show is coming up this Friday night, and the show is looking to feature your furry friends as one of the featured talents. Longtime animal fan and Sappy Fest board president Jessica Grew put out the call for pet photos on social media and is still accepting them via email. Some brave animals are even visiting the live stream studio at Strutt's Gallery, including Jessica's beloved cat, Herman. Meg Cunningham called out Jessica to find out more.
I assume it was your idea to integrate pets into Sappy Fest. What made you think of that?
Well, actually, it wasn't my idea. I believe it was Steve's idea, just from us being friends for so long and me being so animal loving. He kind of suggested, why don't we do a pet show and why don't you host them? Otori as well, and I kind of like lifted off from there with excitement or different ideas on what to do.
Okay. And is there any interest so far? Any really interesting types of pets that have come up?
Yeah, well, we have a duck coming, so I'm very excited about that. I'm a massive duck fan. I would love to have a pet duck. I'm not sure when it will fit into my life, so I'm really excited to meet this duck that walks on a leash and I think may know a few other tricks.
Oh, I cannot wait for that.
That's
going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So you're looking for, even if people don't want to bring their pets in, you're still looking for things like photos and descriptions. And how long will you be taking those as they're submitted?
We'll be taking them until, if people still send them in on Thursday, I can put them together to go into the show. So I get them along quick. Send a photo, of course, name of your pet, some interesting facts about your pet, like how you met, what might have been your most exciting day together, what did you do during COVID, did you put your pet to work, did it give you comfort, did you go for walks, that kind of thing. Everybody's got like a quirky little story about their pet.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of quirky pets, are Herman and Jeff making appearances in the show?
Yeah. Yes, they are. I think we'll just do a photo of Jeff. He's still very young and running around. Like, I was at the vet recently at Westmoreland and was looking at, like, the chart of cat ages and how it correlates to humans. And Jeff is a 15-year-old teenager in human years. So Jeff might stay home, but we'll bring Herman, who's 11, who he's been to Struts before because he actually followed me to a yard sale one year. Okay. So he's familiar with it. He loves to chat. So we're going to bring Herman, and we might even do a demonstration of one of his best summer tips, which is putting a cool damp towel on that's been chilled in the fridge or freezer. He likes to walk around the house with that on.
I'm curious about the logistics of bringing people's animals into the space. Are you nervous about that at all?
Oh, well, yeah, like when you have animals kind of leaving the environment that they're familiar with, there's always that feeling of, you know, what could happen. And, you know, I'm bringing Herman down myself, but we are going to have everyone scheduled. So they'll be coming in for specific times only. We're not going to have pets mingling together. So people will have their time. They'll come in. We'll do like a little, some people are going to do different tricks. I heard that we might have a dog sing a song and with their own keyboardist coming in. So we'll have different things. I've even heard that there's going to be a chicken. So pretty excited about that. Yeah.
And if people want to tune in to watch the pet segment, are they going one right after the other, and or at what time are they going on?
Yeah, so as we know, Infinite Variety won't be in front of a live audience. So the way that you can watch, we're at 1 p.m. on Saturday, and I believe it will be streamed on YouTube, clickable through the Sappy Fest website. So if you want to watch Share Your Pets with Sappy Fest, 1 p.m. on Saturday between 1 to 2 p.m. will be on, I guess, like the video wave.
Email your photos and descriptions of your pets to jessicagrew@gmail.com and be sure to tune in to the 26-hour live stream to see the pet show. The show starts at 8 p.m. this Friday, and the pet parade starts at 1 p.m. on Saturday. That's it for CHMA's Tantrum Hour report for this Thursday, July 29th. Tomorrow on the show, Meg Cunningham asks around to find out how Sackville businesses and the town itself will be adjusting to the lifting of pandemic restrictions on Saturday. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.